initial intent in delivering this comparison was to awaken the Pharisees, who displayed themselves as greedy. And so he cites this example of divine judgment and punishment upon the rich man in order to awaken and convert them so that they may actually be made wise in fearing the Lord and by the continuing grace of God repent of their old ways and amend their lives. As Luther put it in the opening of his sermon on this text, may you, in hearing it, inwardly digest it as well, and by the grace of God, be repenting and believing this very word of God. The icon on the front of today's bulletin may appear harsh, depressing, unappealing, and actually off-putting or offensive. But here's the point. It's meant to get your attention. It is just a reflection of the seriousness of Christ's holy words in this text. The doctrine of hell is true because God's word delivers the truth of its existence. And the crown on the head within the icon doesn't amount to anything in the midst of fire and gnashing of teeth. This warning of God's, which in its context is directed towards the Pharisees, applies, however, to all of mankind. The problem is the Pharisees paid little attention to it back then, and so will those who harden their hearts in unbelief and thus continue to improperly abuse and trust in their wealth today. What's happening is the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil are enticing you with a great reversal of their own. Sins and virtues are getting flip-flopped. What used to be sinful is now getting covered up or dressed up to look like something else. Something less bad and more acceptable. This reversal is taking place with an ever-growing number of sins throughout this fallen world. Back in Luther's time, he had said, quote, that the only things that were still considered as sins were perhaps murder and prostitution. But you know differently now, don't you? Taking life is now considered a choice and not a sin. And prostitution is now laughed at as a necessary evil. It's now just as acceptable as drunkenness and debauchery, being passed off as just having fun. Can you see the great reversal that the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil is bringing to you? Jesus is preaching against greediness here. But the Pharisees refuse to admit it. They don't want to acknowledge the law. They just want to hear that they're okay in their sins. The same thing happens today. You're enticed to cover up your vices. You never like to hear about how you fall short of perfection, even though you do it every day. Your sinful inclination is to put blinders on to God's law and act like there's nothing to be spoken against. You simply want to be left comfortably in your sin. You're driven by the world, your sinful sin all the more. But God, through the words of St. Paul, writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. By the grace of God, repent of that kind of thinking. Consider the words before you today very closely so that they strike home and continue to convert those hearts that they are directed towards. My friends, it's hard to miss the reversal in this parable. The rich man who received his good things and honestly thought that he had it all loses everything and ends up in hell, while the poor man, Lazarus, in like manner, received his bad things and had nothing, yet gained everything by being brought into heaven. Well, that's a great reversal. But here's the beauty of how God's powerful word works. As you hear this parable spoken, who is it that you identify with within it? Honestly, it's the rich man, isn't it? How could you not? You all know that you have your little creature comforts and material goods that you can't imagine giving up. But more so, you know that you would love to be catered to just as much as the next rich man. You pass by people in so much more need than you every day. Come on, you know that you do this. It's easier for you to live comfortably just keeping to yourselves and not bothering with anyone else. The rich man's part of the text makes you uncomfortable. And it should, because it's opening your eyes to who you are as sinners. God's giving you his law to the rich man. He's convicting your hearts of stone. God's making you wise unto salvation. As you are reminded of the sin that remains in you, and how this world, your sinful flesh, and the devil keep getting you to consider yourselves more than your neighbors, God is tearing you down. He's crushing you into a pile of nothing. He's bringing you to a position of need. He's delivering his law so that you have nothing to be proud of, so that you see that you are covered in the soreness of your sins. And here's where the great reversal happens. Now, because of God's doing, you're the ones crying out for help. Now you're the ones identifying with Lazarus. In this condition, you cannot help yourselves, nor anyone else. You can only be helped. That is passive. And God is the one who helps you. He is the one who graciously gives you what you need. In fact, he already started giving you what you need when he delivered his law. For even his law is delivered in mercy toward you. Here's the comfort in your identifying with both the rich man and Lazarus. The parable that has been proclaimed into your ears is the word of God. At work. It's God giving you what you need the most in your life. For it's God's law and gospel creating and sustaining. proceeds from the mouth of God. The word is what the rich man didn't have among all of his riches. Abraham points out to him that it's Moses and the prophets that are to be listened to in order to be saved. If the rich man would have heard this word of God in his life, he would have had the promise of a Messiah. He would have heard about the forgiveness of his sins. And it's that forgiveness that would have brought him to use his wealth properly and care for his believing neighbor, Lazarus. So it's the word of God that's the key. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's an ever important teaching when it comes to God-created faith. And our Lord's parable displays this because it's crucial that it doesn't get mixed up. It's the understanding of passive faith and active faith. In its simplest form, this is how to explain the two. God's word is what creates faith in you. And that faith is called passive because you passively receive and are brought to believe. It's only after passive faith has been created by God's living and active word that God created active faith can take place. As Luther is found stating, God created faith is never alone. It cannot help but do good works incessantly, necessarily. So God created passive faith saves, and God created active faith serves. Passive faith is hidden. Only God can see into the heart. Active faith is exposed to the world, where everyone can see your good works and the lack thereof. Now more understanding is given to the parable. It's because the rich man wasn't hearing the word of God that he couldn't have faith created and sustained in him. God saw into his heart, and there was no belief. There was no passive faith receiving, which saves. Therefore, with no passive faith, there was no God-created active faith to come from him as well. The rich man displays what's not to become a person without the word of God, but feeling saved through excessive wealth. A person who doesn't care to hear the law of God, but would never be left comfortably in their sin. A person who rejects God's love, which is displayed and proclaimed through the merits of Christ Jesus in the word, and therefore, in turn, is not truly loving his neighbor by not hearing of Christ. The rich man was led astray by the world, his sinful flesh, and the devil. He fell for their great reversal. And he fell all the way to the torments of hell. Sadly, there are some that fall for this today. For God's word declares through the words of St. Paul to Timothy, for those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. Africans, don't fall for this. Just look at the rich man. God uses the desires of the rich man to deliver to you his law. And through that law, you are brought to be as Lazarus, having nothing to offer God, being content in whatever circumstances you may find yourselves in, because your true contentment is Christ, your Lord, finishing all that is needed for salvation through his crucifixion and resurrection. Your God-created desire is to be fed with what falls from God's table. And he is the one who serves you with his gifts of word and sacrament. Passively, you are brought to believe in God's word of truth, passively receiving his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. God brought these to you and continues to through the flesh and blood of his Son. Grace that was not cheap. Grace that's not to be abused. God's gracious word lovingly slays you, and yet it proclaims to you what he has finished for you. The message of Jesus Christ and him crucified is saving. Passive faith is created first by God right now, and it is sustained right now. As God creates and sustains this faith within you, it, just as Abram, is accounted to you as righteousness. Namely, Christ's righteousness. And being the amazing creator that he is, through that passive faith, God moves into action through you. You love because he first loved you. You forgive because he first forgave you. You faithfully fulfill your vocations to family, work, and your other neighbors because Jesus faithfully fulfilled his vocation as Savior for you. There are no merits in this fulfilling, for God gets the glory for the good works incessantly happening by his created faith. You help those who are needy because he helped you, who are helpless and needy yourselves. It's the Holy Word of God that will see to it that you don't end up as the rich man. And thus, you hear of the importance of the Word of God being heard and received in your lives. It's God's word made flesh that will always bring the forgiveness of your sins. It's God's word and sacraments that point you to Jesus Christ and him crucified, the one who is your contentment, bringing to you your greatest reversal. As the blessed words of Psalm 116 proclaim, what shall I give unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? I shall receive the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. God wants you to be receivers, and he brings you to be just that. So receive. Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.